Oilers taking on the Ottawa Senators tonight. And it is time now to go around the NHL, brought to you by CycleWorks. It's a huge Polaris ride into a holiday sales event right now at CycleWorks. Go online, CycleWorks.com. Check out all the rides for the holiday season. We are joined now by the voice of the Ottawa Senators from TSN 1200, Dean Brown. Dino, welcome back to the show. I was looking at the numbers of the Senators, and obviously they're getting great goaltending. I'm guessing offense right now is probably the bigger concern than defense or goaltending.
No, you couldn't be more wrong.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Jason. You are so wrong. They're okay. They're middle of the pack offensively. They're 14th in the league offensively. Their biggest problem is the same problem they had last year. Like, the biggest difference between Ottawa and Buffalo, for example, in the East, I know Buffalo's terrible. The difference is goaltending. Ottawa still is giving up, the third most shots against in the league. Last year, they were second worst as far as giving up shots. The shots and chances that they give up are that's the huge part. You know, last year, this team was a very good offensive team, considering they were top 10 in the league. Problem was they had no chance at a playoff spot because they were bottom third in the league in defense. And that's why, this team knew that it wasn't going to score as many points when they didn't have Jason Spezza anymore. But Jason Spezza and the number of points they scored wasn't the problem. Jason Spezza's minus 25 was the problem. And so with that gone, the same thing exists for this team. For this team to make the next step, they have got to spend less time in their own end. That will obviously increase the offense, but most notably what it'll do is cut down the shot count and cut down the chance count.
Yeah, Dean, I mean, if Anderson isn't great, the record, you can turn it upside down in a hurry. How do you change that, though? You've got a terrific marquee guy in Carlson, but how do you get the defensive group to tighten up and play better? Is this personnel on the roster now capable of doing that?
They are, but they just have to grow up. That's the thing. There's no quick fix for this team because it's not going to be a cap team. This team's never going to spend to the cap. So you're always going to basically live with your draft picks, which means you're always going to have a whole slew of young guys in the lineup. Ottawa and Edmonton, there's so many parallels between these two teams. And Ottawa, I think probably the biggest single thing is going to be just they need to get more experience. They need to get, more reps in. This team has the fewest number of NHL games played of any team in the league. They have the least amount of experience in the entire league. Eric Carlson's on the ice for half the game. He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
You're asking, and that doesn't even begin to talk about, forwards coming back in the breakout and having a five-man unit defensively become a five-man unit offensively. If you just want to talk about the defense, you got the 24-year-old who sometimes is playing with the 23-year-old in Cowan, who's sometimes playing with the 20-year-old in CeCe, who is sometimes playing with the 25-year-old in Borowiecki. And yes, he's 25, but he's a college kid, so this is his first year in the NHL, and he's only got, 32 games of experience? Who's playing beside Greiba, who's 26, but was also a college kid, so what's he got? I think 110 games experience? That's this team's problem, is that you can't rush experience. You only get it by playing. And I'm not sure this team, is going to get better anytime soon as far as the shots they give up, because you can't change a birth certificate.
And, yeah, so CeCe, Weirach, Cowan, and Greiva right there. So you got Chris Phillips, who's clearly, the veteran guy. And you mentioned Erik Karlsson playing almost half the game. He has won the Norris Trophy, and he's a dynamic player. But we saw that game against Boston, Dean, where he can have off nights. When you look at Carlson specifically, how much better is he defensively now than he was even 2 years ago in your mind?
I think he's probably about the same as he was 2 years ago, Jason. He's better than he was last year. That game against Boston was horrific. He'd only ever been a minus four one other time in his life, and that was back in his rookie year. So that was a particularly smelly evening for him, and just not even close to his normal standards. Hey, you know what? This guy, he's always going to be a guy who at the end of the year, I think he's 4 or 5 points out of being the leader offensively in the league amongst defensemen. By the end of the year, he'll lead all defensemen in points again. That's a fait accompli. Just the question is that he tries to do so much. He's such a competitive guy, and he's such a passionate guy. He tries to do things that a 180-pound guy can't do. And so he's never going to be the best defensive player amongst defensemen in the league. That's never going to happen. But he's He's about as good as he was 2 years ago when he won the Norris. Not better, not worse, but about the same. Clearly better, though, than he was last year.
Dean, you know, right now the Senators are in eighth place, clinging to a playoff spot. You've talked about their youth. Can they hang in long enough this season to be in the race down the stretch when some of these guys that you've been talking about don't have a lot of experience under their belt, but at least have more experience under their belt to give them half a chance?
There's no question. This team is going to win and lose a lot of games by one goal. That's just the way it's going to be. And this team would not have the same chance if they were playing in the Western Conference. But in the Eastern Conference, at the beginning of the year, a lot of us looked at this team and said, you know what, this team is probably going to be a couple of pointers. If they make the playoffs, they'll make it by a point or two. If they miss the playoffs, it'll be by a point or two. And it's going to have outstanding goaltending. Well, they have had outstanding goaltending from both Anderson and Leonard, and that's about where they are. So, they're right now, if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be in eighth. In the West, they'd probably be 13th or 14th, but they're fortunate that they play in the East. So, this team, I think, because the problem with this team, because there's so much youth, you've still got so many guys trying to find their way in the league. And you have to think that if they can stay competitive and stay around 500 and stay around 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, until after Christmas, that they have a really good chance of making a playoff spot, because young players will be finding where their place is, and you hope and expect that you'll get the better of them in the second half as opposed to the first half.
Dean Brown joins us. Dean, you talk about all those shots they give up, and Anderson. Thank God, I guess they got Anderson and Lerner, both guys who they can rely on. And now, Craig Anderson, when he first came, that 1 year he had in Ottawa, I don't know if he can ever match that. It was outstanding. But do you see them ever contemplating moving one of those guys to get that veteran defenseman right away?
They could, I would suppose, but I think movement on the goalie position is something that they just can't mess with, because that's the tipping point for them winning or losing right now, and probably will be all year. Anderson's 33 years old and Robin Leonard's 23, and Robin Leonard is the goaltender of the future. He'll probably be the starter for 15 years, and they have another Swedish-born goaltender that they drafted that's in Sweden that's the same size as Leonard. So it'll be Yeti 1 and Yeti 2, eventually. Leonard's 6'5", and he's all of 230, and the Swedish kid that they have who's still in Sweden is 6'5 and 230. So eventually you're going to have the two abominable snowmen. But right now, I just think, down the road, when these guys get some experience, he's had a rough patch, there's no question, but they still have faith in Cowan. They like what they have on defense. They have 10 NHL caliber defensemen, and that's what you have to have now with injuries. So they're not as concerned long-term about what they have there. And I just don't see them, if they're going to make a move, if they're going to make a change, I just don't see it involving the goaltending, because that's the straw in their mouth that's keeping the air coming down while they're trying to get their head above water,
Dean, one of the young players with the Senators, a lot of local interest here, obviously. I'm talking about Curtis Lazar. How has he looked so far? And in your mind, having seen a lot of young players come and go, what sort of player does he project as at the National Hockey League level?
He's a great, you guys here in Edmonton know, this is an outstanding young man, young man. And, there's not many 19-year-olds make it in the NHL, but he made this not because they needed to have another center. He made it because he beat out guys. There's two veteran players who sit out every night on this team because he's taken their spots at 19. Where he projects out, he's probably going to be a second-line center on this team down the road, and a guy who is probably going to be a 20 to 25 goal scorer, who's going to be a plus 20 to plus 25 kind of player. He's going to be a guy that plays in all situations. He's going to be probably not on the first, but on your second power play unit. He's going to be on your first unit penalty killing. He's going to be your second guy over the boards, and he's going to get the guy who gets a lot of defensive face-offs in tight games. He's the kind of guy that everyone needs to have. And it's one of those oldest stories in the book, but we were talking about down at the rink today. When you hear general managers after the draft who say, we never thought this guy would still be available. Well, 95, I've done the math, 95.7% of the time that's complete bull. This would be one of the times where it really wasn't. The Ottawa Senators, I can tell you, were absolutely flabbergasted that when they picked at 17 that he was still there. They thought as an organization he would be a top 10 pick. They absolutely did. And so they were blown away when Edmonton took Nurse at 7 rather than Lazar at 7. They thought he would absolutely be a top 10 player. And if they didn't go there, they thought that he would probably go to Dallas in the 10 spot, but they took Nikushkin. So Ottawa never, ever anticipated Curtis Lazar would be there at 17. So it was like a lottery win for them. And all these kids are so very young right now. Mm-hmm. But if you compare, if you take McKinnon out of the list from that draft year, and maybe Seth Jones, you'd have a hard time seeing anybody who is as good a player right now as Curtis Lazar is. You know, Sean Monahan, I would kind of put in that class that he might be around the same, but I think he's better than Horvat in Vancouver. I think he's better than Nikushkin in Dallas. I think he's better than Morin. You know, Domi's not even in the league. I saw Wenberg in Columbus a couple of times. He's better than him. So, you know, in the very, very, very early going of that draft, Curtis Lazar is playing like he probably should have been taken in the top 10.
Yeah, well, the Oilers, they could have taken him, but unfortunately they have a lot of smaller forwards. They need some defensemen. I think we've realized that drafting all the same isn't helping any team win. Dean Brown, the play-by-play voice of the Ottawa Senators. Now, Dean,
can I argue with you just for a bit on that, Jason, though?
Yeah.
Can we argue just a bit?
Sure.
My point is, when we had this discussion this morning at the rink, my point is that he's not like RNH, and he's not like Eberle, and he's not like Yakupov, and that's the point. That's why they should have taken him, because he's not like any of those guys.
Yeah.
He's like the guys. He's like he plays like the guys that used to play here, and I'm not saying he's going to be a frontline offensive guy, but you need to have a mix, and he's the kind of player this team needed. Nurse may only be here in 2 or 3 years, and Nurse may never be as good as Lazar is.
Yeah, and that's possible. I just the Oilers as an organization, when I look at things that they lack, like, we talked about it earlier. What's Ottawa's biggest concern now is their back end. It's Edmonton's biggest concern, and until it improves, they're not improving, regardless of how good your forwards are.
Well, Ottawa's not concerned about their back end. They're just waiting for their back end.
Yeah.
The real big difference between these two teams, in all honesty, if you break it all down, Ottawa's stronger on the back end. Edmonton's stronger up high with their young skill. The difference between these two teams really is goaltending. You know, if you were to get a scale and try and measure every single drop, there's not much difference between Edmonton and Ottawa. Both are very young. It's just Edmonton has more high-end skill up front, and Ottawa has more, you know, big body presence down on the back end, you know, with Cowan 6'5", Weirkosh is 6'5", you know, Greib is 230 pounds, and they've got a Norris Trophy winner. So they have, you know, the balance tips to Ottawa on the defensive side of things. So what's the deal breaker between the two? It's Ottawa's goaltending. That's the real difference between these two teams.
Well, yeah, the Oilers' goaltender save percentage last year and this year just clearly not competitive enough. Although the Oilers, the year they got Nurse, they had a .920 team save percentage, which is really good, and still we're 24th. Unfortunately, it seems whenever they get they fill one gap, there another one kind of sprouts up, and that's a big issue. I want one last one for you, the Bobby Ryan signing. How important do you think that was for the psyche of the organization after after losing out on Spets and Heatley, while trading some guys and, you know, guys wanting to go away and Alfredson and everything else? So was that an important one just to maybe kind of stop that trend to keep a young offensive skilled guy in Ottawa?
Absolutely. It was huge. And that's another similarity between these two marketplaces. You know, there was this perception out there among some, when they're looking at the people who had left and the reasons that they had left, we're starting to wonder, you know, do the high-end guys not want to be in Ottawa? And so Bobby Ryan re-signing in Ottawa when he had the choice, it wasn't, you know, he was the one who had the choice, and it was his choice. That was a huge message for the hockey world, not just for Ottawa. Obviously, it was huge for Ottawa to get a high-end goal scorer, even though he's only got 3 goals right now. That's, everybody knows he's not going to stay at 3 goals. But that was a huge thing as far as the hockey world went, people knowing that high-end guys do want to play in Ottawa. And so sometimes, you know, those messages that go out to the hockey community and to the agents and other guys, they're important, because one of the problems, there's many benefits, but one of the problems with a cap environment is, by and large, the higher-end players are going to get the same money no matter where they go. So it's really, where do you want to live and where do you want to play? And that can make it difficult on some marketplaces. There's no question about that. So you're absolutely right. The Bobby Ryan signing for Ottawa was a very important signing for more than just hockey reasons.
Dean, I appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, boys. Talk to you later.